Hello and welcome to the Washington, D.C. Update Conference Call. Following today's presentation, there will be a formal question-and-answer session. At that time, instructions will be given. Until then, all lines will remain in a listen-only fashion. Today's teleconference is being recorded. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would like to turn the conference over to your host, Governor Tim Pawlenty. Sir, you may begin.
Good morning, and sorry for being a little late on starting the call, but just wanted to share a few thoughts about our trip to Washington and then certainly be available to take your questions afterwards. In short, we were here came out early yesterday morning and attended some meetings of this federal group that I'm on, the ACHP, which is the preservation group that President Bush appointed me to. It's a focused on kind of identification and preservation of historic sites around the country and educational initiatives and funding initiatives related to that. So we spent some time yesterday morning and afternoon at those events, including an event at the White House, which was to commemorate and celebrate some of the award winners in that area. While there, I met with some White House staff on a variety of issues important to Minnesota, including North Star and CREP and prescription medicines. And then late yesterday afternoon, met with a variety of officials from the FDA on our prescription drug plan. And this morning, we're taking care of some business. We met, had a briefing from the Department of Commerce on a plan to invigorate the America's manufacturing economy that Secretary Evans will be unveiling formally in a few hours in Cleveland. But it's the result of months worth of work, actually, or 6 or 8 months worth of work that they've traveled the country and held manufacturing forums nationally like we did in Minnesota, and have reached some conclusions about areas of focus that they want to take federal policy to try to reinvigorate the manufacturing sector in our economy. And I have the report here in front of me, but it focuses on things that I think we've all heard from manufacturers over the last, since the recession started, but it talks about making our business environment more competitive, promoting growth through a variety of means, including making the tax cuts permanent and increasing exports, doing what they call keeping the sidewalk shoveled, our own side of the street clean, and that involves a whole variety of kind of competitiveness areas of focus, including healthcare reform, tort reform, energy reform and infrastructure improvements, talking about the need to increase technology and funding in basic research that could be translated into commercial opportunities, new focus being brought to community colleges and technical colleges to prepare workers for the kind of the manufacturing sector of the future, which is going to be much more high-tech and high-touch than high-tech and high-skill than what we've seen in the past. And then also about a whole series of international issues relating to leveling the playing field on competitiveness, including being more aggressive with respect to exchange rates being fair and reflective of actual economies, enforcing or better monitoring kind of free trade violations or concerns through an investigative team, and then consolidating and bringing a whole new focus within the Department of Commerce on these issues and having them lead the way, at least in terms of the federal government. So they've asked for our assistance with that. They're going to come back through Minnesota to share this report with manufacturers to get their response to make sure they're on the right track, and we're going to be helping with that as well. So that's kind of our day, and then from here we go to more meetings on this Historic Preservation Council and come back later today. And so with that, that's the highlight of the trip, and I'll be happy to take any questions that you have about these things or other matters. We can go ahead and open the lines for questions.
Thank you, and at this time, if you'd like to ask a question, simply press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. And if you're using speaker equipment, please lift your handset prior to pressing star 1. And to cancel your question is star 2. Once again, that's star 1 to ask a question and star 2 to cancel. Our first question comes from Eric Escola with WCCO Radio.
Governor, good morning. Could you give us a little flesh on the bone there on the FDA concerns? Did anything change? Did you get a clearer view of what they will and won't allow? Were they receptive to your plea to have a Minnesota demonstration project with their cooperation? What can you tell us?
Well, I think in short, Eric, there's certainly no meetings of the mind about the appropriateness, at least from their view, of our proposal. The main point of the meeting was for us to update them on our activities and to get any feedback or expression of concerns that we could from them. It was very cordial. The meeting was constructive. I think it was a fair and good exchange of information. But in the end, I think we just had to agree to disagree on the appropriateness of this type of approach, and that's where it was left.
And what is this? How does that inform your decisions and your benchmarks to going forward? Are you going to full speed ahead or pull back, or what happens now?
We're moving ahead, you know, with our proposal, and I've shared that with them, and we've also said we'd be willing to share more details regarding the proposal with them as it gets more fully developed, and they'll perhaps give us some further critique of the plan as it gets to being final. But it's they basically made no promises. They didn't make any threats, but they also didn't make any promises about what they would or wouldn't do. They certainly shared their concerns, but they were noncommittal about how they may react to our plan once it's implemented. Hello? Hello?
Well, I've got more if I can't believe I'm it, but Governor, the MnDOT is out this morning with its snow plowing analysis of the first sort of the midpoint of the winter, and I don't know if you've been briefed on this or not, but the long and short of it is they are 2.9 hours on average to get to the bare pavement, and their guideline says 3 hours is the outside limit of what they'll accept. The two major storms, it took 8 hours, where comparable storms took an hour or so last year. Have you been updated on this? Are you satisfied with how the new system is going? What are your thoughts?
No, I have not been updated on it, Eric, but the good news is there are standards that the department has established, and they're objective, and they're something that we can measure against. And if we're not meeting the standards, or we're coming too close to not meeting the standards, then some adjustments or improvements will need to be made. But I just want everybody to focus on making sure that we, you know, focus on measuring this in a reliable, credible way, and not just allow people to make kind of anecdotal judgments about whether it's being done like in the past or not. But again, if the standards aren't being met, or if we're not doing it consistent with the standards, or too close to violating the standards, then we'll make adjustments.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Dane Smith with Star Tribune.
Hello?
Hello.
Governor, can you give me a little, give us a little background on why you're on this historic thing and what might mean for Minnesota, if anything?
Well, it's the ACHP, or Advisory Council on Historic Preservation. It's a cabinet-level group. I'm not sure what that technically means, but that's how they describe themselves. I don't think the leader of it is formally part of the president's cabinet, but they describe it as a cabinet-level appointment or organization. It's a presidential appointment, and I was asked by the White House to serve on it some months ago, I think last year, and the president appointed me to it, and when the president asks you to serve, I think it's a good thing to say yes and try to serve the country more broadly. So what it might mean to Minnesota is it gives us the ability to have a much stronger direct voice on Minnesota's interest for historical preservation. And there's all sorts of programs and awards for historical preservation efforts, and we may be able to help with those or be better positioned to help with those being on this commission.
Any specific ideas on that score?
Well, just for example, on yesterday's agenda, this is a minor matter, but it's an example. There's going to be a couple of Minnesota projects that are up for presidential awards and recognition for historic preservation. One applicant, for example, is the Mill City Museum. There's another applicant just in one of many programs. It's a kind of a historic restoration of a farm and up by Granite Falls. And so, you know, I'm sitting on the group that's reviewing those things and probably has significantly future designations or grant programs. We might be able to be helpful to those sites in Minnesota. But more broadly, I've been asked to serve by the president, and when the president asks you to serve, I'm more than happy to serve.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, that's star one if you would like to ask a question. Our next question comes from Laura McCollum with Minnesota Public Radio.
Good morning, Governor.
Good morning, Laura.
I assume you've been briefed a little bit on all of these stadium proposals and wondering what your reaction is. I mean, were you surprised by the level of interest and the types of proposals that the commission got?
Well, I'm really excited that there are that volume that there is, I should say, that I'm excited that there is that volume of ideas and proposals. I had gotten kind of informally briefed, and we had received some indications that there may be more competitors or applicants than people had earlier presumed, and that's terrific. That's a great thing about competition. That's a great thing about people being entrepreneurial, and when people are asked to compete and be creative, good things usually happen, and so I'm pleased with the process so far.
Obviously too early to say what you might propose, but does this give you grounds to think that there will be a bill this session?
Well, I think there probably will be a bill this session, although I still think that in part hinges upon the February forecast. The appetite for tackling stadium issues is going to be impacted by that forecast, and if you know we're still having significant budget problems, I think it would be misplaced priorities to spend a lot of time and resources on it. But if our economy is and budget has stabilized or is improving, there may be room to have this debate and discussion, as there should be. This issue has been lingering around for a long time, and we're trying to bring some leadership to it and see if we can solve the problem. But I, Commissioner McElroy, I've given him pretty clear indications of where we want to be on this, which is we don't want any general fund money, no general fund obligations for state bonds, and we're looking for creative or different financing approaches, and I think we're going to find some. I think we are going to find some, and some of the ideas will be kind of rehashed from the past, but I think you'll see two or three new ideas coming through as well.
And just one follow-up on the prescription drug issue. So the plan is to roll out the website next week, or just talk about the process a little bit?
The website is under active, we're actively developing the website. I've had a chance to look at kind of early versions of it. I don't think, Laura, it's going to be ready that soon. I think we're probably looking more at mid-February or so, perhaps earlier. It just depends on how the final efforts go to get the website up and running. And we could get something out there quickly and lay claim to being the first in the nation to do it, but I want to make sure that we do it right. And it's not important that we be first, but it is important that we do it well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Eric Escola with WCCO Radio.
Governor, just one thing on the stadium. It sounds like for instance, the Anoka County plan has up to a 0.75% sales tax in Anoka County. The proposals all seem to either have direct cash from the state or, in St. Paul's case for the Twins, a loan from the state. Just in broad parameters, can you refresh our memory on what you've said about some sort of direct state infusion of money, or does it really have to be kind of a locality-driven budget and teams and locality?
Well, I think, Erica, we want to, again, not get ahead of the process because, in fairness to the people who are putting together these applications, we don't want to prejudge or rule anybody in or out just based on my comments. We want to let the process work and let everybody have a fair chance to make their pitch. That being said, we have eliminated the idea of state general fund cash or monies to support state debt service on state bonds. Beyond that, we'll see what ideas and packages can be put together. But there's a whole range of things here, some of which might not even include state money. You've got certain legislators proposing gaming proposals. I'm not suggesting that is the way this will unfold, but just there's going to be 20 different ideas, and there may be a way for the state to participate without having to put general fund monies on the table.
And did you did mention at the top that you had some North Star discussions. Could you fill us in on those?
Well, mostly just briefing the White House staff on our most recent position and pronouncements on North Star. I basically wanted to bring the White House up to date on our decision-making around the North Star corridor and to make sure they're aware of it. And as that issue potentially gets delivered to the Federal Transit Authority, I want to make sure that the White House knows what we're up to.
And then just last on my list is, were there any political talk, you being a Bush-Cheney campaign official, Iowa caucuses Monday. Was there any political talk and keeping the president's name in the news with all the Democrats getting the attention?
Well, no, this was more on the government and policy side. You know, the Bush operation has a separate campaign office and staff somewhere else, but this was all about public policy issues, and near as I can tell, the president doesn't have any trouble staying in the news, even with the Iowa caucuses coming up.
Probably not. Thanks.
Right.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Dane Smith with Star Tribune.
Governor, can you talk just a little bit more about on the prescription drug initiative, about exactly what it means when you say that they you agreed to disagree? Did they threaten to remove you from office or anything?
Well, we did have some discussions about the legal issues involved, Dane, and that was not just about enforcement. It was about their ability or authority to even do a pilot project if they could. You know, one of the points they made was that they are given the job, really the responsibility of enforcing 65-year-old laws. I mean, many of the laws and regulations that the FDA is asked to oversee and enforce are very old. And so what they're saying is, in addition to all the pressure that they're getting from the states, you know, they
law's the law.
Well, yeah, well, they just don't have the discretion to do some of the things that the states or local units of government are asking them to do under the law. And one of the challenges for those of us who are advocates for change is to get the Congress to change some of these laws. My own view is there's enough room under the current laws to allow programs like Minnesota's to go forward.
Did they threaten a lawsuit?
Enforcement actions were referenced, and they did review kind of their range of enforcement options, but also said they have discretion with respect to how and when they would pursue enforcement. But they also made it very clear that they're giving no promises or assurances one way or the other as to what they may do or when they may do it. They're keeping all their options open, and they made that very clear.
And it's scary?
Well, it does give me some pause. Again, you know, we have an opinion from Attorney General Hatch that indicates that we can go forward with this. We're relying on that, and we've asked for some additional legal advice from the Attorney General as well. But I knew when we started down this trail that there was some risk involved, but in my view, we can operate within the law and bring a lot of relief to people, and it's worth trying.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, that's star one if you would like to ask a question. One moment while the questions register. At this time, Governor Pavlenty, I show no further questions, sir.
Great. Okay, well, thank you. Everybody have a good weekend. Appreciate your interest, and we'll see you down the trail.
Thank you. This concludes today's teleconference. Thank you for your participation, and have a great day. You may disconnect at this time.